We think we're it when we're not even the dot many times. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Notice, fear the Lord, two things. Hold the Lord in awe. You are in awe of his majesty. He is so awesome and wonderful. Depart from evil, two things. That's the second thing. Turn away from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. That is a spiritual principle, a benefit of the kingdom of God. If we do these things, we have a promise that it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. In other words, we can improve our life, our health tremendously by obeying the word of God, by trusting in him. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So here's another principle when it comes to material things. The Lord is saying, honor him first with the first fruits, honor him with our possessions, and so our barns will be filled with plenty, or so that we won't have lack. It's by honoring God. And there's a number of things that happen when we honor God with our first fruits and our possessions. And I believe on our part, the main things that happens there is that we are declaring, when we're honoring God with our possessions, we're declaring that these possessions have actually come from him. We're actually giving him credit for them coming into our hands. We want to be in that way because, you know, we can't go through life totally trying to get the things that we need on an everyday basis by our own labor, or we'll be just bound to spending all the time working as opposed to doing the things that we're supposed to be doing in life. And folks, we are not supposed to be working beyond what's reasonable. So many people have their lives out of balance when it comes to work because we've gotten themselves into too much debt and it's just totally out of balance. And the Lord has a very small place within their lives because they're bound because of work, 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 work. But these are spiritual principles that function in the kingdom of God, and you and I, as we grow in them in a greater measure, I believe we're going to find ourselves beneficiaries of the kingdom of heaven itself, of the kingdom of God in so many ways. It'll come to us in this natural realm as well. Abraham was very rich. The blessings of Abraham was silver and gold and camels and sheep and livestock. And I mean, he had it all. In that day that he lived in, he had it all. He was extremely wealthy. But all his blessing was only a sign of the favor of the Lord that was on him that you really couldn't see other than in the natural. He was a friend of God. He put God first. He was willing to forgo certain apparent privileges in the natural in order to see the supernatural manifest in his life. I love this when Abraham one time went and defeated a great number of kings when Lot was carried away. And they come back, the king of Sodom met Abraham when Abraham had come back defeating all these other kings. And the king of Sodom was one of the men who lost everything because they were defeated. And the king of Sodom said, take everything you want. Just give me the people, I believe, that King Sodom wanted, because he won the battle. Abraham won the battle. And Abraham said this, I will not touch so much as a shoelace from all this loot, lest someone else or you say that you made Abraham rich. He was so determined to let everybody know that my wealth, that my blessing comes from God and not from a heathen king. He showed that he honored God in that way. He wouldn't even allow people to think, oh, yeah, King Sodom, Abraham's rich, but, you know, it came from me. It was me that really earned all that. No, Abraham did not want nothing to do with that. He said, I will not touch so much as a shoe latch unless you say that you made Abraham rich. He knew something about the principles of the kingdom of God and his relationship with God, that God was able to provide him with everything he needed. He didn't have to go to a heathen king to get his needs. And the world is going to, and many Christians are going to a heathen financial institutions to try to get what they can't afford, so that they'll get into debt and be in bondage for years and years and years after. We have to learn that there's a better way. And sometimes it's do it out until we can afford it, rather than going to a heathen financial institution that is designed to get the body of Christ into bondage. and everybody else. It is designed to get people into a place where you will be in hock to them for the rest of your lives. And you know what happens when people come out of high school to end the university? One of the first things that happens, they get 3 or 4 credit cards coming in the mail. They start their working career off, and they're still learning, going into university and so forth. They're still learning, but the financial institutions are quick. They get their fingers in there to get people in bondage right away. And so they'll be in bondage, many of them, for the rest of their lives. God says there's a better way. He's got a better way to do it. And you and I have this wonderful word to be able to look at in order to find out that better way. Praise God. Well, let's start trying to see if we can get into a little bit about what tonight's lesson is about. God's basic plan for your life. What's my contribution in the kingdom? In other words, there is a very basic plan, and that's what we're talking about, a very basic plan for every Christian, for every believer, because we all have a part to play in the kingdom of God. And the greater part we will play in the kingdom of God's system, the greater opportunities we'll be able to reap from the kingdom of God as well, from the benefits of the kingdom. Because, you know, I've found even that people in this natural realm, when they are in government, for instance, they will often reap some of the greater benefits of the government of the land because they're connected to the top people. They're connected to the people who even control some of the purse strings and so forth. And that's the way it works in the natural a lot of times. You know, you've often heard that saying, you know, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Well, I'll tell you, when it comes to the kingdom of God, that is a big issue. It's who you know, and his name is Jesus. And if we know him and are close to him and working with him, the benefits are going to come down the pike. Praise the Lord. So what's our contribution to the kingdom of God? Well, we're going to look at what all Christians are called to. And first and foremost, all Christians are called to be servants. There's kind of a pop flavor that goes along in many circles today where just come to Christ and you won't have to die and go to hell. And that's wonderful. That's wonderful news. I'm so glad when I heard that, when I realized that I didn't have to die to go to hell. I was thrilled when I found that Jesus was going to keep me out of hell. That was wonderful. But once you have great privileges with that comes great responsibility. And so one of the things that you and I are called as a Christian, when we're called out of the world, we're called to be servants first of all. And the next, all Christians are called to be witnesses. In other words, we are to be witnesses and be willing to declare what has happened to us. It's so important for you and I to declare in many ways, in the way we live, sometimes with our conversation and so forth, and sometimes directly speaking about the gospel to individuals as well. But it's important for us to let others know that we belong to Jesus, that we belong to a higher power. We belong to the kingdom of God. We belong to a king, and his name is Jesus. It's so important to let others know about that, because it will, if we believe that we have something great that could benefit people, if we really believe that, surely we would want other people to know about that. And we have to constantly resist the spirit of the world that tries to put limitations on the greatness that we have received in Jesus. Just like in that city of Corinth, there was many perversions going on in the city, and they got into the church. And that's why Paul wrote these letters, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. He actually wrote them because of the perversion that was in the city and the church had allowed it in there. We are dealing with that same thing today in many, many fashions. And that whole sexual area that Paul spoke about in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, but also in other areas as well. We are influenced by the system of this world in thinking that the church has so many problems that who would want to go there? That the church has so many issues that who wants to be a part of them? You know, that comes from the spirit of the world, and it has infiltrated into the church. I was speaking not too long ago with a group of pastors, and somebody was kind of talking a little bit about this whole, he's talking about another church, and there's so much problems, and it's so much like the world, and so much doing things in the way the world is, and talking about problems in the church. And I had to stop them. I said, wait just a minute, guys. Just a minute. We must be careful that we don't allow the spirit of the world to get in the church in thinking that because we are not a perfect church, that we don't have something to offer. I said to them, I said, you know, I am convinced that anybody living out there in the world, not a part of a church, if they were in my church, if they were in your church, if they were in your church, they would be better off than out there in the world. The church is still the best deal going. It really is. And we have to resist that flavor that the spirit of the world has in trying to think just because there's some bad apples, and there are in the church, there's no question. There's crooks in the church, we know that. And there's some people in leadership that are crooks and all that kind of stuff. That's right. But, you know, that isn't confined just to this profession. There's crooks in every area of life. But it doesn't mean that the church does not have something to offer. It is still the most precious thing that the Lord looks at upon the earth. And God is refining it over and over again. But we have to be careful that we don't fall into the trap. And as a consequence, even hold back in our witnessing and talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what the devil wants. He wants us to get thinking so low about the church that we'll not even bother talking about it. That we'll just think, you know, no, they don't want to hear. Well, I'm telling you, folks, those people out there are just like I was and like you were. And look at us today. Maybe we even thought we didn't want to hear about it. But deep down, once we heard about it, once we got the message, what happened? Never go back. Never go back. You'd run from that. Well, there's a whole bunch of people out there yet that really, once they hear, once they understand, they'll say, thank you for sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to me. Thank you for letting me know. Praise God. So all Christians are also called to be witnesses as well. All Christians should seek God's plan and will for their lives. And this is something also that when we come into the kingdom of God, it's important that we don't stop at just recognizing that, yes, we're saved now. Glory to God. Now we're going to float along and coast until we get to heaven. No, God has put us here for a reason. There's a specific reason that God has put each one of us on the earth. And you and I carry a supply of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that supply that works within you and I, that you and I carry, is to be administered through our character, through who we've become. Because we will be able to administer God to others in a very unique fashion. So I like to put it this way. When I'm ministering, praying for people, what I'm actually doing is ministering the Holy Spirit. In other words, I'm trying to open the door as much as I can for the Holy Spirit to work. Sometimes that'll come through my characteristics. I might have a particular bent in my life that, you know, it's acceptable, it is sanctified, and it's acceptable to God that He might minister through. It is the Holy Spirit that helps people. All we're doing is trying to open the door for Him to, you know, go and be able to do the things that no man can do. I'm convinced that's one of the main things that the church has to do is learn how to simply open a door for the Holy Spirit to do what we cannot do. Because love will cause people to gravitate to us. But you know what? It has to be the love of the Holy Ghost. It has to be the love that God puts us in us for that to really work. How many people have gotten caught up in illicit sexual relationships because they acted on the world's kind of love, and look where it went. But the love of God that has been imparted to us as we allow Him, as we do acts of kindness that opens the door for the love of God to flow to us, through us, wow, it just impacts people and can change their lives forever. So it's important for us to seek out the will of God and plan and purpose that God has for our own particular life. And that may come in just by praying in areas, praying in other tongues, praying the mystery, the secret out for our lives. And we'll begin to just walk into it. The fourth one, all Christians are called to be good stewards. And that's one thing as you read through the scriptures that we see this many, many times that God is calling us to be good stewards. The things that He gives into our lives, He expects increase. He expects that to increase. Give and it shall be given. In other words, as we give out, as we pour out whatever it might be in our lives, more will be given into us. If we pour out, if we give all kinds of acts of love and kindness, I'm convinced more will be poured into us. There'll be many channels of that poured into us in many ways. We're called to be good stewards because the kingdom of God is a kingdom of increase. Remember over in Isaiah, talking about prophesying about Jesus Christ coming, eventually the Messiah coming, and it says that of the increase of his kingdom, there will be no end. In other words, his kingdom will always increase. His kingdom is about increase. Anything that's a part of the kingdom of God is increasing today. There is increase. That's a characteristic, a very nature of the kingdom of heaven is increase. So when we get some things from heaven, we're supposed to be doing what we can to increase them. And that way we'll be good stewards. Number five, all Christians are called to dedicate and consecrate their lives to the will of God. In other words, we're supposed to separate ourselves from the world and be more connected to God than we are to the world, I should say. We are to live holy lives. Now, we want to look at these just in a little more depth, real quickly. We said that we're all Christians are called to be servants. Matthew chapter 20, verse 26, 27, whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. And so that seems to be totally reversed from the world system, where in the world system, the great people, it seems like everybody's serving them. They don't have to do anything. But in the kingdom of God's system, the one who is great is actually going to be the one who will serve. The one who is great in the kingdom of God's system always has other people in mind of what they can do for them, how they can bless them, how they can bring them up. And you're serving, you're actually doing service as you're thinking about, okay, how can I help this individual? What can I speak into their lives? What can I share with them that will help them? Whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. In other words, let him put him in a place where he can serve. Matthew 9:35, but he, Jesus, saw the multitudes. He was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. He looked upon the people and he seen. Now this gives us a little concept of how we are to be servants to the world. He looked upon the multitudes and he looked upon them as having a sheep or being sheep without having any shepherd. Christians are to be shepherds to unwilling sheep. Now that's kind of an interesting statement because what does a shepherd do? He tries to look after his flock. Even sheep that are ornery and want to go their own way, he tries to do something to bring them back. He tries to get them into the fold. Well, when it comes to a Christian and their outlook upon the world, their job is to try to get those rebellious sheep into the fold. And in this way, we're serving them. We are doing what we can in order to point them back to the family of God, point them to a place where they can have redemption and so forth. And so in this, that's some of the greatest service that we could ever be involved in, is getting hold of these rebellious sheep, if you will. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Matthew 20, 28 speaks to us of that very fact that Jesus, his very purpose of coming to earth was not to live like a king from the world standards. He was coming to serve. And from the kingdom of God standard, a king in the kingdom of God, his whole attitude is to serve. It's to serve the people that For my people have looked at the church and they've forgotten that there is a king. There is a head, the one who's called the Messiah, the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. My people look upon such a one and they take him lightly, for he has come to rule and reign over a kingdom. A kingdom that will have subjects that have submitted to his lordship. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ will be transformed in these coming days, and they'll see Jesus as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he will rule a people who will bow down to him in honor and worship him and give him thanks and praise, and all such activity will bring glory to the Father in heaven. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Benefits of the kingdom. That's one of the benefits of the kingdom. You get to almost be able to touch into the heart of God, hear what He's once imparted to the church. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Whew. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your anointing, Father. Thank you for being able to get caught up into the spirit, Lord. I praise you, Father. Thank you for the veil becoming thinner and thinner. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for glimpses into the kingdom of heaven itself. Praise you, God. Thank you, Father.